राधामाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतक श्रीमद् सत्वैन ग्रह सभी चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतक श्रीमद् सत्वैन ग्रह भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर नंबर 30 entitled The Activities of the Prachetas, text number 23.
Shuddhaya Shantaya Namasvanishthaya Manasya Partham Vilasadvayaya Namo Jagatsthana Layodayeshu गृहीतमाया गुणविग्रहाय शुद्धाय शांताय नमस्वनिष्ठाय मनस्य पार्थं विलसद्वयाय नमो जगत्स्थानलयोदयेषु गृहीतमाया गुणविग्रहाय शुद्धाय शांताय नमस्वनिष्ठाय मनस्य पार्थं विलसद्वयाय नमो जगत्स्थान लयोदयेषु गृहीतमाय गुणविग्रहाय। गृहीतमाय गुणविग्रहाय। माताजी, शुद्धाय अंटू द अनअडल्ट्रेटेड, शांताय अंटू द मोस्ट पीसफुल, नमः वी ऑफर अवर ओबेसेंसेस, स्वनिष्ठय बाय बीइंग सिचुएटेड इन वन्स पोजीशन, मनसी इन द माइंड, अपार्थम विदाउट एनी मीनिंग, विलसत अपीयरिंग, द्वयाय इन हूम द ड्यूअल वर्ल्ड, नमः ओबेसेंसेस जगत ऑफ द कॉस्मिक मैनिफेस्टेशन, स्थान मेंटेनेंस, लय एनहिलेशन, उदयेशु एंड फॉर क्रिएशन, गृहीता एक्सेप्टेड, माया मटीरियल, गुण ऑफ द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर, विग्रहाय द फॉर्म्स। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, we beg to offer our obeisances unto you. When the mind is fixed upon you, the world of duality, although a place for material enjoyment, appears meaningless. Your transcendental form is full of transcendental bliss. We therefore offer our respects unto you. Your appearances as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva are meant for the purpose of creating, maintaining and annihilating this cosmic manifestation. Purport. A pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord can certainly appreciate the impermanence of this material world. Although such a devotee may be engaged in executing material activities, this stage is called anasakti. As explained by Rupa Goswami, anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjitaha. A devotee is always unattached to the material activities because in the liberated state, his mind is always fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. The material world is called Dvaita, the world of duality. A devotee knows very well that everything within this material world is but a manifestation of the Supreme Lord's energy. To maintain the three modes of material nature, the Supreme Lord takes on different forms as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. Unaffected by the modes of material nature, the Lord takes on different forms to create, maintain and annihilate this cosmic manifestation. The conclusion is that, although the pure devotee appears to engage in material activities, in the service of the Lord, he knows very well that material enjoyment is for sense gratification. For sense gratification has no use whatsoever.
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वंदेहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna.
Very happy to be back at Pune after a long time. I think last year during Narasimha Chaturthi time I had been here with the kind invitation and mercy of all the devotees here, especially His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, Antaradvik Prabhu and other devotees. And it has always been a very enlivening experience for me to associate with the devotees of Pune. And for this visit, I was just, I proposed few topics to Radhesham Prabhu, and then Prabhu said you can take prayers of Bhagavatam and one more topic on Mahavadanya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, because Gaurapurnima is also coming up. So I was just thinking, okay, I can take Prachetas prayers. So somehow this sloka is also Prachetas prayers. Okay. So Prachetas prayers begin from the previous sloka. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya nirupito dara gunahvayaya. Yesterday you must have discussed this. Prachetas are the sons of Prachinabarhi. They are 10 in number. And all of them went to do austerities in the forest. So the father's order to Prachetas is to procreate, to create progeny, take up the responsibilities of the kingdom. But before taking up this active responsibilities as kings and husbands, these princes in those days, they are recommended to perform some austerities to control their mind and senses and to live in the forest so that they can purify themselves. They should get used to living with inconvenience. Then only they will understand the inconveniences of their citizens. And they should get used to controlling their mind and senses. Then only they will not be distracted by all the facilities and grandeur within the kingdom, within the palace. If the princes from birth till the retirement or end, if they are just pampered by the palace comforts, if they have no experience of austerity, then they will get used to it, they will never be able to rule properly. So in those days, Rajarshis make a point that their young sons are trained in austerity. So although they just leave all the palace comforts and everything and they enter the forest and live for a long time, Prachetas lived for 10,000 years under waters to do austerities and worship the Supreme Lord. Then they can lead their grihastha life and political life in a proper manner. And at the right time, they will be able to renounce all these palace comforts and take to Vanaprastha order also. So without having a background of proper austerities and devotional service in the beginning of one's life, during the brahmachari stage, one cannot take to vanaprastha stage very comfortably. So only during grihastha life, that period, one is allowed to have access to some sense gratification and some comforts. Otherwise, the initial stages of life in the Vedic system is filled with austerity, and after retirement also there is austerity. So Prachetas went to the forest to perform austerities and Lord Shiva came. And Shiva taught them Rudra Gita. And they chanted that Rudra Gita for 10,000 years. Whenever somebody is eager to perform devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, then they get all kinds of support and guidance and blessings of even demigods also. Because demigods are also Vaishnavas. They are very happy with Vishnu Bhaktas. So Shiva comes and says, Yah param ramhasa sakshat triguna jiva samgitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannah sa priyohimi. Whoever is worshipping Lord Vasudeva is very dear to me. So, oh Prachetas, all of you are about to worship Lord Vasudeva. So, I am here to guide you in your devotional service. So, voluntarily, Rudra came and taught them Rudra Gita. And for 10,000 years, all these Prachetas very sincerely, with great cooperation, they chanted this Rudra Gita and finally they got the darshan of the Lord. And as soon as they saw the Supreme Lord, they offered all these prayers. The first prayer was Namo Namaha Klesha Vinashanaya. Yesterday you must have discussed it. I'll not touch it now. So I'll take the second shloka. Shuddhaya Shantaya Namaha Swanishthaya Manasya Partham Vilasadvayaya. Shuddhaya means the Supreme Lord is Shuddha, extremely pure. No material contamination can ever affect him. Although he is the creator, the maintainer, and the destroyer of the material universe, he is never entangled or bound by those material activities. Okay. Shuddha. And he is Vishuddha, he is in Vishuddha Sattva. The Sattva Guna, which is considered the purest of all the three gunas in this material world, is also tinged with some passion and some ignorance in this material world. But the Supreme Lord is in Vishuddha Sattva Guna, where he has absolutely no tinges of passion and ignorance. And in the next shlokas also, Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Haraye Harimedhasi. The third prayer of Prachetas, they glorify the Lord as Vishuddha Sattvaya. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya. Shuddhaya. Next is Shantaya. The Lord is always peaceful. He is not agitated. Okay, he does not have any agitation seeing any material objects, because he has no desire to enjoy any material sense gratification. And he has no attachment to the results of his activities. Thus he is always unagitated. Right? He is never attracted. He is never allured. Even Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter. He says, Nachamatsthani Bhutani. Before that, what is it, 9.4? Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshu avasthitaha. Although I am there in everything, I am not there in everything also. I will not elaborate those two shlokas, very important. But Krishna is there within everything, but he is not entangled. The soul is there within the body, the super soul is also there within the body, but the soul is attached to the body and the soul is entangled because of the functionings of this body, but the super soul is never affected and entangled or bound. So the Lord is there within everything. When Krishna says, Namam Kar, what is that? Namam karmani, not that the verse that we just quoted. Maya tatamidam sarvam. Although Krishna is there within everything, but still nachamatsthani bhutani. I am not there within them also. I am there within everything as the sustaining force, the maintaining force. Everything is dependent on me. In that sense, Krishna is there within everything. Okay. But nachamatsthani bhutani, when he said it, everything is does not rest on me, or I am not there within everything. When he says that, I am not dependent on anything. When he says I am there within everything, everything is dependent on me. When he says I am not there within everything, I am not dependent on anything. I am not attached to anything. I remain neutral. Okay. Nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram. See the mystic opulence of the Lord. Behold the mystic opulence of the Lord. Although he is there within everything, he is not there within everything also. In the sense that, although he maintains everything, he is not attached to anything. Okay. He creates, but he is not attached to his creation. He maintains it, but he is not attached to what he is maintaining. If he is attached to what he is creating and what he is maintaining, why will he allow destruction to happen? He created material world. He is maintaining the material world. He is allowing the destruction of the material world to happen. Because he is detached. He's renounced. Right? So, Shuddhaya Shantaya Namaha Swanishthaya. In this shloka, Prachetas are saying that you are Swanishthaya. You are always fixed up in your original glory. There is no change. Even he also says, Gajendra says, that you are the wonderful cause of everything.
नमो नमस्ते अखिल कारणाय निष्कारणाय अद्भुत कारणाय सर्वागमाम्नाय महार्णवाय नमोपवर्गाय परायणाय नमो नमस्ते अखिल कारणाय यू आर द कारण यू आर द कॉज ऑफ एवरीथिंग गजेंद्र इज प्रेइंग लाइक दैट नमो नमस्ते अखिल कारणाय बट निष्कारणाय यू योरसेल्फ डोंट हैव एनी कॉज अद्भुत कारणाय दैट्स व्हाई यू आर द वंडरफुल कॉज यू कॉज एवरीथिंग यू डोंट हैव ए कॉज दैट्स व्हाई यू आर द वंडरफुल कॉज ऑफ एवरीथिंग ओके so swanishthaya he is always rooted in his own original glory there is no deviation from his position okay whether you praise him whether you criticize him whether you adore him or whether you neglect him that doesn't cause any difference to him okay in one sense that causes some pain to him because if his own children are deviating from their right consciousness that pains him But as far as his position is concerned, he is never, there is no change in his position. He is kutastha, swanishthaya. He is fixed up in his original position eternally. Okay. So, that's why there is another shloka in the first canto. Etadishanam ishasya prakritisthopi tadgunaihi na yujyate sadatmasthair yatha buddhihi tadashrayaha. This is the divinity of the Supreme Lord. Although he deals with matter, he creates this material world, he maintains it and he destroys it. Means these are all dealings with matter, but he is never bound by those dealings. So the Lord is changeless. He is never affected by his so-called material activities. Okay. So the first line of this shloka says how the Lord is Shuddha, Shanta and fixed up in his eternal constitutional position. The second line is another important aspect of the shloka and Prabhupada elaborates on the second line more than other lines in this purport. Okay. Manasya partham vilasadvayaya. Manasi, apartham means meaningless, vilasadvayaya. Dvaya means duality. In this material world there are so many dualities of heat and cold, happiness and distress, victory and defeat, success and failure. These are all dualities. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkhadaha agamapayino nityaha tamstitikshasva bharatam. There are dualities of happiness, distress, heat and cold. A devotee learns to tolerate those dualities knowing that agama apayino anitya. They come, they go, they are impermanent. So knowing that they are impermanent, a devotee learns to tolerate them and he is not affected by them. Similarly, in this shloka also, Prachetas are saying, Manasi apartham vilasadvayaya. Vilasadvayaya means whatever dualities are being manifested by this material nature appear to be meaningless to a devotee to the degree they surrender to Krishna. If we surrender to Krishna, if we take shelter of Krishna's bhakti, then we will not be carried away by this material dualities. We will understand that this happiness is temporary. This distress is temporary. So the ability to tolerate the temptations in this material world and the ability to tolerate all the dualities of this material world comes from our devotion to Krishna. If only we are able to tolerate these dualities with an equipoised mind, then we will be able to transcend this material world and we are eligible for liberation truly. That's why after Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, immediately our Krishna says, Yamhinavyathayantyete purusham purusharshabham samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate Yumhina vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha. Okay. Sama dukkha sukham dhiram. In the previous shloka, Krishna is emphasizing on tolerating the dualities, knowing that they are impermanent. And now he says that equanimity in the midst of duality is the qualification for liberation. Manasi apartham vilasadvayaya. When can we see these dualities as meaningless? Only when we perform devotional service. And by that devotional service, we will get the real liberation. We are able to see the connection between this line and those slokas that we were just mentioning. So, otherwise, we will be carried away by these dualities. Regular people, materialistic people, conditioned souls, even practicing devotees also, at times they are overwhelmed with the happiness and distress that is available in this material world. Whenever there is a cause of distress, even a devotee also could get overwhelmed. Whenever there is happiness, even a devotee also can get overjoyed and overexcited, right, beyond certain limits, right. When we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, when we are studying Bhagavatam, when we are associating with exalted devotees, we can understand to some degree, at least intellectually, that manasi apartham vilasadvayaya. We can understand that all the material excitements and dualities in this world are temporary. They do not have eternal effect. But when we actually encounter an experience which is under the dualities of this material world, we may not be equipoised. We can conveniently forget. Whenever somebody says something to us, we may not be able to tolerate. Whenever there is happiness, we get overexcited. Right? When somebody just chastises us or just criticizes us, or say something that hurts us, we will immediately get affected by it. Right? It's natural, we are all persons, but we need to ultimately understand. The understanding given by so many characters of Bhagavatam is manasya partham vilasadvayaya. Whatever dualities are being exhibited by the material nature, they are all meaningless. They have no meaning. They will have an effect on us to a certain degree, but ultimately, from an eternal perspective, from the perspective of being a spirit soul, eternal, fragmental part and parcel of Krishna, they are all meaningless. Right? That's what Prabhupada is writing here. Somewhere in the purport, say this. A pure devotee whose mind is always engaged in the service of the Lord can certainly appreciate the impermanence of this material world. Why do we get affected by dualities? Why do we get affected by happiness or distress on a material plane also? Because we might consciously or unconsciously tend to think that they are permanent. Okay, they are eternal. Unconsciously we just think that this is eternal. Now I am very healthy. This is a permanent state of my body. One may think like that. Or one may get affected by some distress, some disease. One may think that this is permanent. Okay. So, but several characters in Srimad Bhagavatam are giving us this concluding message through their stories and through their realizations that this material experiences that we have in this material world are so impermanent. We'll discuss few stories. Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed to die. Sorry, cursed to become a demon by Mother Parvati. Okay, you know the whole story. Chitraketu descended from this airplane and then went to Mother Parvati and said, "My dear mother, I didn't mean anything wrong. And whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong and may I be forgiven for it." And then he says that gunapravaha etasmin kashyapaha kunvanugraha. Whatever happiness or distress or swarga, naraka, blessing, curse that we are experiencing here, is gunapravaha, is the current of material modes. So there is no permanent effect for these temporary dualities. So just like you stand on the shore of a flowing river, the ripples go up and down. The ripples of the river go up and down. Sometimes the ripple will come up and the volume of the water that went little above the surface, that will not stay up for a long time. Immediately, within the next moment, it just goes down. Okay? So, the high tide or low tide or whatever, so they are not permanent. Similarly, whatever happiness or distress, that experiences that we are having in this world, are not permanent. They are so temporary. Okay? We will realize the temporary nature of these dualities to the degree we are surrendered to Krishna. By the Lord's mercy only, we will see things as temporary. Otherwise, we will be carried away thinking that these are permanent. For example, Yayati Maharaj. Yayati, he was obsessed with the beauty of Devayani. Okay.
And he was even, like at one point he became quite shameless also to borrow the youth of his own son, Puru, to enjoy with his mother. Enjoy with his, means Yati's wife, Devayani. So how can you borrow the youth from your own son and enjoy? So Yati Maharaj thought that my enjoyment with this wife gives me unlimited happiness. I need it right now. He was overwhelmed. But at one point, he realized, after enjoying with Devayani for 1,000 years, he realized that it's not worth it. It's not proper that I waste my human life for this temporary sense pleasures. He gave up. He gave back his youth to his son and he took shelter of the Supreme Lord. And along with his wife Devayani, both of them performed devotional service and then they perfected their lives. Saubhari. Saubhari means he saw two fish mating and then he was distracted. And he went to Mandhata and said, "My dear Mandhata, I want to marry your daughter." And Mandhata had 50 daughters. And Saubhari Muni, when he asked for the daughter, Mandhata saw and said, "Are, he is so old. He is like a sage. He doesn't seem to be having a hermitage also. He just came out of Yamuna. He didn't have anything for last several hundreds of years." So he said, if I say no, he may curse me also. So better I just use some trick. He said, "Actually, I wanted to get my daughters married to men whom they like. So you can just go and meet my daughters. If they are attracted to you, I can get your marriage done." Then Saubhari understood the mind of Mandhata. So a messenger was taking Saubhari to the quarters of all these 50 daughters of Mandhata. And on the way, Saubhari transformed himself into a very young and beautiful, handsome man. Then all these 50 daughters started fighting with each other. "I will marry him, I will marry him, I will marry him." Then Saubhari married all the 50 daughters. And he enjoyed sense gratification like anything. And even Mandhata, being an emperor of the world, he also got bewildered. Can somebody enjoy to this degree? And he renounced. Okay. But Saubhari Muni is continuing. He had 50 wives and he got 5,000 children. At one point he started contemplating. "I was alone. I became 51. I became 5,001. What's happening with my life?" And then after such a devotional contemplation, he just renounced. And all the 50 wives of this Saubhari also took to the process of devotional service. And eventually they attained the lotus feet of the Lord. So several stories in Srimad Bhagavatam prove that the experiences that we have in this world, the happy experiences are bitter experiences. They are all temporary. Pandavas experienced so many calamities. "Aho kashtam aho anyayam yad yuyam dharmanandana jivitam narhatam klishtam vipra dharmachyutashrayah." So Bhishma was appreciating the glory of these Pandavas. He says, you are all rooted in your righteousness. You are not meant to experience all these difficulties. "Aho kashtam, aho anyayam," so many injustices were done to you. You went through so many difficulties. Okay. And now, after the Kurukshetra war, this Duryodhan died, Dushasan died, Karna died, Shakuni died, and all these warriors on the opposite side of Pandavas, they died and they got the kingdom also. So this happiness is temporary. Distress is also temporary. Pandavas went through a lot of distress, but later they became happy by becoming the kings of this whole world. But one good thing in Pandavas is, whether they were in prosperity or in pain, they were in calamity at one point and they were in prosperity at another point, their consciousness was rooted in Krishna only, Krishna's lotus feet. We see so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam where people underwent a lot of difficulties. At that time their consciousness was poor, or they were undergoing a lot of enjoyment. At that time consciousness was poor. And on the other hand, when they realized that impermanence of this happiness or distress on a material plane, they took shelter of Krishna and they became permanently happy, eternally happy. So Chitraketu's wife Kritadyuti blamed Krishna. "How can my son die in front of his father. Right? What kind of creator you are? You are behaving like an innocent, immature child. How can a son die during the lifetime of his father? So like that, she blamed God. So whenever there is some difficulty, some people may blame God. Whenever there is happiness, some people may forget God. Why? Because of getting overwhelmed with that temporary duality. Happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat, these are all so temporary. During the fight between Vritrasur and Indra, at one point Indra dropped his thunderbolt. Indra was ashamed to pick it up. At another point during the fight, Indra threw his club and Vritrasura rendered it so useless. He just caught it with his left hand and then threw it away. And Indra thought that if I throw my thunderbolt also, this Vritrasura, this huge-bodied Vritrasura, he may make it also useless. I will not throw. I will keep it. You see, although the Supreme Lord Vishnu has ordained that this thunderbolt is meant to kill Vritrasura, Indra did not have sufficient faith in the Lord's words. But Vritrasura had full faith in the Lord's words. Vritrasura was thinking that my only ecstasy in life is to be killed by the thunderbolt in Indra's hands. That's the job description of my life. That's the mission of my life. And he was even inspiring Indra. Please throw the thunderbolt. Vishnu told. The thunderbolt is empowered with Vishnu's instruction and the dhichi's austerity. It will never fail. Don't worry. This is not like your gada. Okay? Your club, I have made it useless. I cannot make thunderbolt useless. Please throw it. Please throw it. But this fellow, this Indra, is not having full faith on the Lord's words. And at that time, Vritrasura gave him teachings. Victory and defeat are quite common in this world. We should not get affected by it. Only the Supreme Lord Krishna is always victorious. Everybody else in the entire cosmic manifestation are sometimes victorious and sometimes they get defeated. Look at me. I lost one hand. Still I am fighting. Dutifully. Okay. So he was inspiring. So we should not get overwhelmed with victory or defeat or success or failure or happiness or distress or heaven or hell or heat or cold. So one should equip oneself with the necessary maturity by studying Bhagavatam and reading through all these examples to withstand all the dualities in this material world. Manasya partham vilasadvayaya. We will be able to see the dualities in this material world as temporary and meaningless to the degree we are devoted to Krishna. Whenever we are getting overwhelmed by happiness or distress, we need to go back and check how strongly did I take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. So we saw the examples of Saubhari Muni. At one point he was happy on a material plane. At later point he realized this happiness is useless. I should take shelter of Krishna. Yayati also. Pururava also. Pururava was so obsessed with Urvasi at one point. And Urvasi gave a counseling class. So you should not be overwhelmed like this. Relax, you are an emperor. You are not supposed to be like this. Behave yourself. But still he was obsessed. And later he worshipped Gandharvas and attained the planet of Gandharvas and then associated with Urvasi also, and he was happy at that time. But after some time, he became frustrated with that enjoyment. He sang Aila Gita. Okay. So the happiness that we get in this material world is so temporary, so feeble. And even if we love some people, we may not be able to stay with them. And even if we don't love some people, we may be forced to stay with them. So there is a shloka in the discussion between Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Okay. Naikatra priya samvasaha suhrudam chitra karmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam shrotaso yatha. This shloka says, although people love each other, they cannot stay together. Naikatra priya samvasaha suhrudam chitra karmanam. Why we can't stay together with our beloved ones? Chitra karmanam. Every single person has a unique karma. Because of that unique karma, one may appear in certain geographical location, in certain body, with certain material relationships, and as long as he has that karma to experience in such a situation, he will stay there with those people. And after some time, they just get departed. And an example is given. On a flowing river, there are two floating twigs. you put two twigs on a floating river, on a flowing river, they are floating, and they may be together when you put them, but because of the pravaha, because of the flow, they may get separated, and again they may come together, again they may get separated, they may permanently get separated, never to meet again. So to that, in a similar way, living entities also come in contact with other living entities in this world. They stay together, they experience either happiness or distress for a temporary amount of time, and they may get separated even permanently also. So the happiness or distress that we get in this world are so temporary, and the victory or defeat are also temporary. And to be more strict, apartham, this shloka is quite strict. Apartham velasat dvayaya, that dvaya, duality is apartham, meaningless. It is meaningless, yes, it has meaning to a certain degree. And that meaning, and they are meaningful only within that one situation, or max within that one lifetime only. But the lifetime itself is so temporary. From an eternal perspective, from the spiritual perspective, from the scale of eternity, these dualities have no permanent effect. So one should not be unnecessarily overwhelmed. At one point, Dhruva Maharaj was so ambitious to attain a position superior to Brahmaji also. But after taking shelter of Lord Krishna, and after attaining the darshan of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt that all this position of being the position superior to Brahma, or ruling this planet for 36,000 years, all these are material benedictions. They are all so temporary. I am getting the diamonds of Krishna's darshan and Krishna's bhakti, and I was aspiring for the broken pieces of glasses of this temporary material benedictions. So he understood these dualities have no permanent effect. Okay. The bodies are temporary, bodily relationships are temporary, bodily possessions are temporary. Temporarily, we have to take responsibility to maintain them to a certain degree. But we should always have our eye and priority and focus on that which is permanent. What is permanent? Bhakti is permanent. That is never destroyed. So whatever little bit of devotional service that we perform, that is never destroyed. Better invest there. That's what the scriptures are repeatedly telling us. Neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even little amount of devotional service that we render sincerely, that will have a permanent effect. That's a permanent asset for the soul. Right? And whatever investment that we are putting in getting some material benediction or material pleasure, that's a temporary investment that will give temporary returns, and the effects are very temporary. So better we also prior, and we may have to do the needful also in that place. So we better keep our priority on investing in something which is very permanent and very eternal. So manasya partham vilasadvayaya. Now the next two lines. Namo jagat sthana layodayeshu grihita maya guna vigrahaya. And before that, I'll just read a few statements from purport also. A devotee knows well that everything within this world is but manifestation of the Lord's energy. To maintain the three modes, the Lord manifests as Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, correct. So, knowing that everything is a manifestation of the Lord's energy, a devotee utilizes these temporary objects available in the service of the Lord and get permanent benefit from it. A flower may be temporary. It blooms at one point, and after one day, by the end of the day, it just fades. So it is temporary. Its fragrance is temporary. Its color is temporary. Its existence is temporary. But you pluck the temporary flower and offer it to Krishna and get a permanent spiritual benefit, okay, of coming closer to Krishna. So a devotee is expert in using all the temporary objects in this material world to get a permanent spiritual credit for oneself and come closer to Krishna. So a devotee is expert enough to engage and dovetail one's temporary propensities. Even our talents are temporary, our body is temporary. But as long as the body is strong and stout And as long as our mind is like quite functional, intelligence is quite functional, and as long as we have the skills, we engage them, we better engage them in Krishna's service. Although they are all temporary. The body is temporary. Now the body is strong. 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, the body will dwindle. We may not be able to walk also. But when the body is strong, although it is temporary, you should be able to engage in Krishna's service. Tadapi adhruvam arthadam. It is adhruva. This body is impermanent. But arthadam, it is meaningless. It is meaningful. So the body is temporary, yet it can enable you to get some permanent and eternal assets, spiritual assets, right? If only we have the diligence and intelligence and smartness to engage this temporary body and temporary objects in Krishna's service. Now coming to the last three lines, last two lines. Namo jagatsthana layodayeshu grihita maya guna vigrahaya. For the creation, maintenance and destruction of this material world, the Lord will accept these three forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Okay. So he accepts these three forms, and to fulfill the independent and temporary desires of this material world, materialistic conditioned souls, the Lord will create this material world, okay, manifest the material world for a temporary amount of time so that these people can exercise their temporary material desires. And while exercising their temporary material desires, they may have some little inclination to perform some bhakti, to associate with devotees. And then Krishna just is giving another opportunity. Okay, you are pursuing your material desires, but I am making scriptures also available. I am sending my devotees also into this temporary material world. I am personally descending into the form of various incarnations into this material world, into this temporary material world, so that I can inspire you to come to the eternal spiritual world. Okay? So, although the Supreme Lord is unaffected by all the temporary dualities, still he will enter the temporary world also to inspire people to come to the eternal world. So Krishna is never affected. That's what in the first line it says, right? Shuddhaya Shantaya Namaha Swanishthaya. Just because Krishna took the forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva and became the in charges of mode of passion, ignorance and goodness, that does not mean he is affected by mode of passion, ignorance and goodness. Okay? He is aloof. He is situated in his own glory. Swanishthaya. Right, he is rooted in his permanent, eternal, divine position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never affected by the material dualities. Okay. Kartasya sarga dishuyona badhyate na hanyate deha gato api daihi kaihi drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate namaste asakta vivikta sakshini. Okay. So this prayer says, Kartasya Sargadishu Yo Nabadhyate. Although Krishna is the doer of this Sarga and means creation, maintenance and destruction, Nabadhyate. He is never affected by it. He is never bound by his creations. When we create something, we get attached to it. When somebody makes a building, if the building is damaged, one will get affected. But Krishna creates this material world, and some damage is happening in this material world, Krishna is not affected. Okay. Kartasya sargadishu yo nabadhyati. Na hanyate dehagatopi daihikaihi. When an ordinary soul enters some material body, a pig body or a dog body or a cat body or a human body or male body or female body, one is affected by that bodily structure and psychophysical nature. But the Lord takes up different forms as Kurma, Varaha, Hayagriva, Narasimha, Rama, Krishna. But he is not affected by those external forms. Because whichever form he takes up, they are all spiritual forms. Okay. So, drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyate. When we see something, we get affected by that vision. When somebody who is in mode of goodness, he sees something unclean, he will get affected. I should not be here. It's good. It's good. And someone is in uncleanliness, he will get affected by cleanliness. It's too clean. somebody is used to lot of noise. If you go to a silent place, he'll get scared. Why is so much silence? I need some noise around me. Right? Somebody is staying so close to railway station, constantly he's hearing all the railway station sounds. Right? If he comes to a resort where everything is peaceful, the only sound that you can hear is sometimes the wind is blowing a little faster. Okay? Then he gets scared by that silence. So, when somebody is affected by the material gunas, his vision has an influence on him. Drashturna drugyasya gunair vidushyati. When we see something, we get affected by it, whether positively or negatively. But Krishna, how much he is seeing? He is the super soul within the hearts of every single living entity, and he is witnessing all the good and bad activities of millions and billions and trillions of living beings. But he is not affected. He is neutral. So to be neutral is not a small thing. He is very personal and he is very neutral. He has personal aspect also, he has neutral aspect also. He is unaffected by material functionings. At the same time, he wants to personally stay within the hearts of all the living entities because they are all his parts and parcels, his own children. Mamaiva amsho jiva loke, they are all my amshas, Krishna says. Okay? So he is unaffected. So to summarize, Krishna is unaffected by his dealings with material nature. Okay? And devotees are also unaffected by their dealings with material nature to the degree they are devoted to Krishna. Otherwise, one will always be affected by the dualities of this material world. So, to safeguard ourselves from this temporary dualities of this material nature, to perceive this dvaya as apartham, to perceive all the material dualities as meaningless, we should have the mercy of Krishna, the grace of Krishna. Then only we will be able to traverse on a spiritual path nicely, being unaffected by the material dualities. So the Supreme Lord Krishna is always glorified by the Vedic scriptures, demigods, sages, devotees, right? Only worshipping the Supreme Lord Krishna, we can safeguard ourselves and we can traverse nicely on a spiritual path. I'll conclude with this one beautiful sloka that explains the glories of the Lord. Yam brahma varun indra rudra marutah stunvanti divyaistavaihi vedaihi sanga padakramopanishadaihi gayanti yam samagah dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino yasyantam na vidursura suragana devaya tasmai namah. Yam brahma varuna indra maruta, all these great demigods, stunvanti divyaihi stavaihi, they are constantly glorifying Krishna with transcendental divine praises. Okay, vedaihi sanga padakramopanishadaihi gayanti yam samagah, all the Vedas and different Upanishads and Vedic literatures, they are constantly glorifying the qualities of Krishna. Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino, all the great yogis, they are perceiving Krishna within their hearts. It is Krishna who is being meditated upon by yogis. It is Krishna who is being praised by devotees. It is Krishna who is being glorified by the Vedic scriptures. Yasyantam na vidur surasura ganaha devaya tasmai namaha. The end of the glories of the Supreme Lord, the extent of the glories of the Supreme Lord cannot be reached by devas, demigods, surasura ganaha, demigods or demons or any exalted personality in this universe. Better we take shelter of Krishna through bhakti yoga and safeguard ourselves from this material dualities. We should be able to realize the impermanence of this material world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. We can memorize this shloka. We can write it in Bhakti Shastri exam. We may get 50 out of 50 or 100 out of 100. You may get Bhakti Shastri degree also. But to realize this fact takes a lifetime or lifetimes sometimes. Right? So to the degree we are committed to the process of bhakti, to that degree we will realize the impermanence of this material world and not be affected by the dualities of this material world, and we can perfect our lives. Thank you all very much. I'm sorry, I think I took 5 minutes extra. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।